A Different Sort of Sorting. Written by Lullaby Nell. Read by Opal Song. Part 16 of As Green as a Fresh Pickled Toad series. Summary. And then the Sorting Hat sends an Avery off into Gryffindor and an Abbott off into Ravenclaw, despite the family's respective long and prestigious histories in Slytherin and Hufflepuff. What the actual fuck is happening? No one says aloud, as a Bulstrode goes off to Hufflepuff and a Longbottom cousin goes into Slytherin. Thank you. All right, here we go. This got ridiculous. 1. The Weasleys are Gryffindors through and true. The fact that they are not in Gryffindor is the fault of the Sorting Hat, who is either throwing a temper tantrum or saving the world. Look, it's just arg. The headmaster is fucking useless, and the Sorting Hat cannot take any more of this fucking complaining. The student dormitories and the teachers' quarters are moaning about how they've never had so few people and are convinced Hogwarts is shutting down. The kitchen still hasn't shut up about those poisoning attempts during the war. The library won't shut up about the obviously inevitable second war coming in about 20 years or so. Also something about time travel, but no one is listening. And the gardens and bathrooms and secret passages and all are still terrified about raids and attacks and murder and another horrible war. Hogwarts does not want another war. Salazar's Chamber of Secrets, instead of being any help and calming things, of course, is still being a smug and elusive bastard. Helga's Room of Requirement can't and won't be of any help either. They've all been feeling a little ill lately. Although they can't shine a torch on why exactly. And Godric and Rowena's rooms are just best left to themselves. They'd probably only make it all worse, actually. Risk-taking adventurous arses would probably encourage the castle to rebel or some rot. But the headmaster, instead of doing his job, is just... fuck knows what the headmaster is doing, honestly. Raising children to the war and letting marked students run amok left and right. That's what he did. And letting everything get out of control so that a war could happen in the first place before that. With this man in charge, the library is probably right and they'll see another war soon enough. Something has got to be done, the Sorting Hat knows. But what exactly can it do? All it does is sing a bloody song that no one listens to every year, and then sends the little brats off to the house they belong to, then sits on a shelf for the rest of the year, thinking about how maybe that one ought to have been in Gryffindor after all, or how this one's bad habits wouldn't have been encouraged if the Sorting Hat had gone with Hufflepuff instead of Slytherin. Oh. Now, there's a thought. It's something the Sorting Hat would have considered impossible before, but when the safety of Hogwarts is at stake, taking advantage of the many loopholes Godric left and using a bit of creative thinking and reasoning, quite doable, actually. 1982 is a year that does not go as expected. Everyone was rather under the impression that things would finally be going back to normal, what with the war being over for nearly a year, and the last few trials and outspoken followers being wrapped up and neatly shoved away or under a rug. Finally, everyone thought, a stressless year at Hogwarts. Heads are full of wondering about the greasy-looking git in Professor Slughorn's seat, not a one suspecting the devious thoughts running through the tanning of the hat in Professor McGonagall's hand. Yes, there was a sorting song about unity and undiscovered depths and things changing now that the war was over, but that was more or less the same as every year, and to be expected. And then the sorting hat sends an Avery off to Gryffindor and an Abbott off to Ravenclaw, despite the family's respective, long and prestigious histories in Slytherin and Hufflepuff. What the actual fuck is happening? No one says aloud, as a Bulstrode goes off to Hufflepuff and a Longbottom cousin goes into Slytherin. What the fucking shit? No one shouts like they want to, as a couple of Muggleborns go straight into Slytherin, and the most purest and illustrious racist families get scattered throughout the other houses, among half-bloods and Muggleborns, like a particularly gleeful punishment. Bill Weasley, being 11 years old and not entirely aware of the scandal brewing, goes up to that stool and has the sorting hat dropped on his head. Actually dropped, out of Minerva McGonagall's shaking hand. Something is off, his instincts are certain. But what? Fuck knows what.
Chivalrous, of course,
the sorting hat mumbles, more to itself than Bill.
Never met a Weasley who wasn't. And brave, of course, like you'd expect of a Pruitt. Strong sense of justice, yes, and no disinclination to stand up and fighting for it, no matter the toil. More straightforward than cunning, though, and no particular ambitions as of yet, and a passion that needs a focus first. I suppose it'll have to be...
Hufflepuff, the sorting hat shouts, thinking on the other side, shame. Would have liked a Slytherin Weasley. Bill doesn't think much of it at the time. His main concern is that, unlike his parents, his Weasley uncles, his late Pruitt uncles, he's a Hufflepuff. The first Weasley and Pruitt not to go straight into Gryffindor in generations, actually. He hopes they won't be disappointed in him, and that yellow and black will be good colors on him. Well, it's a change, but he can roll with it. 2. Arthur and Molly Weasley are shocked at first, but then they just roll with it too. After kid number 2 goes the same way, they think nothing will faze them. And then Percy happens. So it turns out that Bill Weasley looks fucking fantastic in yellow and black. He is the most loyal, just badass badger in the set. He could do without having a snotty Bulstrode as his roommate, but it's probably better to have the git in ready hexing range, so he can educate them on exactly why it's not okay to be a purist jerk. Bill will make Hufflepuff's new influx of, "My whole family has been Slytherin, I demand to be resorted," and, "I don't want to be in this bunch of duffers, I'm a Gryffindor," and, "I'm too smart to be a Hufflepuff, I should be a Ravenclaw like my dad." Kids, see why it is amazing to be a Hufflepuff, or he will probably break something, or a lot of somethings trying. It took him a while to get used to the change too, but his parents still love him, and just because he's a Hufflepuff doesn't mean he can't be brave and chivalrous and badass. He'll make them see, or maybe accidentally kill them all with kindness and tough love and no tolerance for bullshit. Hogwarts Castle, watching with interest, is fairly certain Bill Weasley is the second coming of Helga Hufflepuff. She would love this little shit, who fell into some of the intricate traps guarding the Hufflepuff common room, and is now determined to find out exactly how they work. When Charlie Weasley comes around, everyone is still not certain what's up with the sorting hat. But if it put you in a house, you're probably meant to be there? It's just, it's been doing this for 1,000 years or so, so it probably knows what's up. It's not like it could break, right? Dumbledore actually checked and could not, in fact, find anything wrong with it. Like, it looked a little smug, but there was nothing actually wrong with the enchantments or anything. And Charlie Weasley goes straight into Ravenclaw. Yes, he's brave and chivalrous, and yes, he's loyal and hardworking. But the Sorting Hat has been making it a goal to divide families as much as possible between the houses, just like it's been making it a goal to divide purebloods and Muggleborns. And Charlie Weasley is not Well, he's certainly able to be cunning and devious when it's needed, but he's not particularly ambitious. Very happy-go-lucky is Charlie Weasley, next to being an adrenaline junkie with a death wish. Charlie Weasley a Ravenclaw? Well, it's honestly quite simple. Because even at 11 years old, Charlie loves magical creatures. He wants to know everything about magical creatures. With a smaller, but massive love for herbology also. There is just so much wisdom hidden in our natural world, you know? How can we even begin to understand ourselves if we cannot understand the beings that surround us? They have so many secrets and tricks and cleverness and wonderfulness. We can learn so much from them. Also, dragons! Dragons are amazing! He loves dragons and has found his home in Ravenclaw. Excuse me, have you ever considered dragons? Charlie Weasley says to a fellow Ravenclaw. Occasionally, the other Ravenclaw answers. But have you ever considered space and aliens? Guys, 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 another Ravenclaw interrupts. The both of you need to stop for a second and consider something even more important. The ocean. Bill is not impressed when he has to drag Charlie and his two Ravenclaw buddies back out of the Forbidden Forest. He is an angry, angry Hufflepuff, and his lecture rips into them straight up one side and right down the other. What the fuck were you even thinking? Charlie's mumbling answer cannot be heard, but it seems to contain the word acromantulas, and so Bill absolutely refuses to hear it. Charlie's friends remain shamefaced and mute as Bill drags them all back to the castle by their ears. Is it not enough that you have to nearly kill yourself every day on the Quidditch pitch? Bill demands, completely ignoring Sprout and Flitwick, ready to tell all four students, including Bill, off, and just staring in a little bit of awe at Bill Weasley's complete dressing down of his younger sibling. He is channeling his mother so strongly that somewhere Molly Weasley is getting the urge to write a howler and does not know exactly why. Yet. So, that's Bill, and that's Charlie. So next comes Percy. And Percy Weasley goes right into Slytherin. Finally, the Sorting Hat thinks. A Slytherin Weasley! Oh yes, lots of cunning and ambition here! Percy is devastated, because being a Gryffindor like his parents would have been good, or being a Ravenclaw would have been fantastic, or being a Hufflepuff like Bill would have been amazing, but Slytherin? He ought to just leave the school. There wasn't a witch or a wizard who didn't go really bad who wasn't in Slytherin. Even if the house is more Muggle-born and half-blood than not these days. Much to the concern and bewilderment of purest bastards everywhere. But then Bill and Charlie march right into the Slytherin common room to hug the daylights out of their younger brother. How did you get here? One Slytherin prefect tries to demand. But Hufflepuff prefect and future head boy Bill Weasley gives them a look. Everyone immediately shuts up and looks away as nesting mother dragon Charlie Weasley hugs a sobbing Percy on pain of death by Hufflepuff or revenge by Ravenclaw. Percy is reassured that they love him completely, not despite him being a Slytherin, but because he's a Slytherin. Because he wouldn't be Percy if he wasn't whatever put him into Slytherin. And the Sorting Hat is, well, it might be on a bender or something, but it's never wrong. When Percy finally stops crying, another Slytherin first year pipes up that he thought he was going to be in Gryffindor too. But Slytherin is all right. They can be buddies and look out for each other. Sounds like they're both in here because they're really ambitious. They can pursue their passions together. Say, since your brother is the amazing Charlie Weasley, do you like Quidditch at all? Percy stares at Slytherin Oliver Wood in something akin to horror. And all Bill does is slap Percy on the back and say, "Looks like you've made a friend." While Charlie cries and hugs Oliver Wood for being such a kind and friendly packmate to his little brother. The Sorting Hat was dropped on Oliver Wood's head and was just like,
"Well, Salazar probably didn't mean Quidditch when he meant ambitious, But that sort of passion and determination to do anything to win would definitely impress him. What the actual fuck? This is going to be hilarious.
Eventually things adjust. Percy gets a reassuring letter from his parents. Charlie attacks him with hugs every other day. And Bill occasionally appears in the Slytherin common room to make sure that everything's going nicely. How the fuck is he getting in? Seriously, does anybody know? This is embarrassing. He's a Hufflepuff. This has to be stopped. But Percy accepts that he's a Slytherin. He meets a lot of like-minded Muggleborns and Half-Bloods and decides, you know, Slytherin isn't all bad. It's definitely been changing lately. And I'm going to be one of the ones to change it too, so people are proud to be Slytherins. The only real issue is that sometime in the springtime of Percy's first year, a seventh-year Slytherin prefect casually sidles up to Bill Weasley in the Slytherin common room. "Say, Badger Weasley?" they say nervously, wringing their hands and sweating as the Hufflepuff gives them a look. "I was, just wondering while checking some, protection and defensive spells down here in the dungeon. Slytherin stuff, you know? And, is your little brother's rat supposed to be an Animagus? Please don't kill me." Bill goes very, very still. And after a moment, he says, "Excuse me, I'm going to get Professor Sprout." 3. The younger siblings follow a similar pattern. All right, for fuck's sake, Ginny. So that happened. Bill got Professor Sprout. Professor Sprout got Amelia Bones. Amelia Bones got a team of Aurors. The team of Aurors got Scabbers and then nailed Peter Pettigrew to a wall. Percy was distraught. Charlie and Bill gave a lot of hugs. Molly and Arthur gave a lot of hugs. And then there were a couple of extremely high-profile trials, and it turns out Sirius Black is innocent. The first thing he did as a free man was to hug Harry Potter. A lot. Ignore Albus Dumbledore completely, and take his godson to move in with Remus Lupin. They're buying a house somewhere near the Burrow, actually. Somewhere closer to the Diggories and Lovegoods. They've been over for dinner a few times, and they're very happy. But moving past the massive scandal to when Fred and George Weasley come to Hogwarts. Obviously, the Sorting Hat can't break its streak now. It's already caused the extremely purist and racist Catherine Partridge Sr. from the Board of Governors to have a meltdown because it put her daughter in hippie, charm-high Ravenclaw instead of noble, dignified Slytherin. The Hogwarts teachers are confused as fuck, and the Sorting Hat is having the time of its life. It can't stop now. It considers separating Fred and George Weasley, but, well, it's not that daring. So Fred and George Weasley go one after the other straight into Ravenclaw. You probably would have guessed Slytherin, because these are boys that have cunning in spades and will go on to have admirable ambitions. But right now, at 11 years old, these boys mostly just want to know everything. It would surprise almost all of their teachers, but Fred and George Weasley love learning. They just learn differently. Different learning methods, different passions, but no less of a love for exploration and wisdom and learning absolutely everything they can in a random, haphazard manner. Anyone who was shocked about this really ought to have remembered that it was Rowena Ravenclaw who made the moving staircases of Hogwarts Castle, from every temperamental railing to every trick stair. It's always the wise old academics with the strangest senses of humor. Fred and George Weasley are two of maybe 24 students in 50 years to notice that the staircases actually have a pattern, and only 2 of maybe 6 to regularly and intellectually put that pattern to good use. Rowena would be proud to have a pair of Ravenclaws like Fred and George Weasley, because Fred and George Weasley are the sort of people to sit outside Ravenclaw common room and see if they can exhaust the door knocker's supply of riddles. Like, what if they're in a situation where they don't have the time to think about it? Phileas Flitwick is so proud, But also, go to bed, boys. It's 4 in the morning. This is the 5th time this week. Lee Jordan, what are you doing out of the Hufflepuff common room again at this hour? Go to bed. So that's Fred and George. And after them, it's Ron Weasley. His inferiority complex still lives, of course, but not well. Because, yeah, Bill was a Hufflepuff prefect and head boy. Charlie was captain of the Ravenclaw Quidditch team. Percy is a Slytherin prefect. And Fred and George are, well, Fred and George in blue and bronze. But Ron is the first Hufflepuff Weasley since Bill. Booyah! He's following in Bill's footsteps. Percy is so jealous. Ron Weasley is a Hufflepuff because he's loyal and just and true, and he's not afraid of hard work or toil. Sometimes he's jealous over what little he has and envious over what he doesn't, but that doesn't change the fact that Ron Weasley is shaped like Friend. He's a true badger. Ginny Weasley, last but not at all least, goes straight into Slytherin. She's not the first, but that doesn't stop Molly and Arthur being worried over their dear baby girl. Because despite the extremely changed reputation in house members, Slytherin still has a history. They love her, of course, but, well, but nothing, Percy Weasley says, throwing his arm over her shoulder, chest puffed out with pride. Finally, another Slytherin in the family. Yeah, yeah, you're a snake, Fred says to his little sister, while counting every brick in a hallway for, studying purposes? Yeah. You could turn evil, whatever. The important thing is that you don't turn out like Percy. What he said, George agrees, carefully marking the floor tiles. Fred, I think we're going to have to double check this against the dorm library. Harry says he was almost in Slytherin, Ron tells his little sister with a shrug. No big deal. So Ginny Weasley is a Slytherin and proud. Everything is good. Until Simon Savage, 7th-year Slytherin prefect, sidles up to Percy and clears his throat awkwardly. Nice to see you, Weasley. Got some news. Didn't think it should wait until the weekly prefect's meeting. Because, it's slightly more important than Slytherin patrol routes. Yes, yes, it is. I was checking the security and is your sister supposed to have a dark artifact for a diary? Percy stares without blinking for an unnatural amount of time, then says weakly, oh, not again. 4. Harry and Ron are still the bestest of friends. It's just Harry's roommate is, Harry Potter, strangely enough, still goes into Gryffindor. It would be great for him to go somewhere else, but the boy is a Gryffindor through and true, and he wants nothing more than to follow his parents and his Dadfoot and Moony into Gryffindor. After years with the Dursleys, Harry is still nervous about making his caretakers proud of him. The Sorting Hat just cannot do it. Besides, keeping Harry Potter in Gryffindor allows, well, another sorting to have interesting side effects. There is no moment so awkward as the one where Harry, just sorted into Gryffindor, slides into the seat next to a pouting and embarrassed Draco Malfoy, who does not want to be there. Minerva McGonagall thought she'd gone deaf for a moment from the shriek Draco Malfoy made when he was sorted into Gryffindor. Harry and Ron remain the greatest of friends, a lion and a badger, who met on the train and would not let separation part them. But, ugh. Staying friends with Harry means Ron has to put up with Harry's annoying roommate, Draco Lucius Malfoy. Where are you going at this time of night, Potter? None of your business, Draco. Go and clean your 101 shampoos out of the bathroom or something. Potter, Weasley, I'm going with you or I'm reporting you. Harry? Ron says seriously. The offer for you to live in the Hufflepuff dorms is still open. Please, Weasley. Like you're going to manage to smuggle a dragon without me. Harry, I've confiscated your invisibility cloak until that sock is in a hamper where it belongs. Draco, you cannot be serious. No, I'm not. That's my cousin. I'll be seeing the both of you at Aunt Andromeda's Christmas party again this year. Let's hope he and Father don't get in another fist fight. That was embarrassing. But I'm not fucking around. Do your bloody laundry, you ingrate! Hermione Granger, proud Ravenclaw, tilts her head as she considers Draco arguing with Harry over eating a healthier breakfast for the third time this week. And it's Wednesday. Then she turns to Ron, who's joined her and Fred and George at the Ravenclaw table today for breakfast. They have one of the strangest friendships I've ever seen, she informs him. It's been 4 years. They ought to have straightened things out by now. Ron coughs up a full piece of bacon as Fred and George snicker into their coffee. Friends? Ron demands. Friends? Neville, bloke, how do you even begin to explain how that's, in no way what they are? You're roommates with them. Neville looks Hermione dead in the eye. They snog, he says, all the time. They hate each other, and they always end up snogging, usually on Smith's bed. There is nothing even remotely straight about this. 5. The burrow remains as happy and messy as ever. Ron, that's my Quidditch gear. No, it's mine. It's green, you git. Is Hufflepuff's keeper going to go on in green? And that's Seeker's gear. Can't you tell the bloody difference? Says the Seeker who keeps borrowing all my yellow clothes with badgers on them. They're warm and that's not relevant. Ron, what's the matter? Harry's the new captain of the Gryffindor Quidditch team. Is that a bad thing? No, but Malfoy's been made vice captain. Oh. I can't live through this. I'm going to transfer to Beauxbatons. You're in Hufflepuff. You can avoid it. No. No, I can't. You don't understand. They're going to be loud and they're going to involve everyone. The school is going to go to shit. The resulting howler, when Fred and George turn every door in Hogwarts into replicas of the Ravenclaw common room door. George Weasley, looking Minerva McGonagall dead in the eye. It's not our fault people don't know how to answer a decent riddle, he says, straightening his blue and bronze tie with solemn dignity. It's a lesson in education, professors. Minerva McGonagall only barely manages not to snort. Fidelius, she says sternly to the man at her side, we need to give them detention. Please contain yourself and stop beaming. The end. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback for both myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening!